I'm in a weirdly orderly mood, which feels suspicious already. But Draco, this one deserves it. Directed acyclic graphs keep sneaking under everything we cover. Agents, workflows, build systems, memory, receipts. We keep pointing at the shape and then sprinting past it.
Yeah, and episode 795 is apparently where exploring next becomes a tiny graph theory support group. Fine, good, because if DAGs click, a lot of the boring control infrastructure we keep yelling about gets much less mysterious.
Start with the non-scary version. Dinner party. You can set the table whenever, chill the wine whenever, but you cannot serve dessert before baking it, and you cannot bake it before buying ingredients. That's the whole vibe, right?
That's the cleanest entry point. Imagine every task as a dot on a page. Buying ingredients is one dot. Baking dessert is another. Serving dessert is another. Then you draw an arrow from buying ingredients to baking, because buying has to finish before baking starts.
Right.
That picture is the graph. The dots are nodes, sometimes called vertices. The arrows are edges. Directed means the arrows point one way. Acyclic means if you follow the arrows, you never loop back to where you began. So a directed acyclic graph, or DAG, is a one-way prerequisite map with no circular dependencies.
The dinner party version is honestly dangerous because now I'm imagining a workflow engine panicking because someone tried to frost a cake that does not exist yet.
That is basically half of production engineering, just with fewer plates. The machine is saying, politely, no, I refuse to frost the ghost cake.
Okay, that's genuinely funny. Back to the ghost cake before we lose whatever dignity this episode had.
The thing that matters is that ADAG is not just a checklist. A checklist says do A, then B, then C. ADAG says A must happen before C, B must happen before C, but A and B might not depend on each other. That structure lets a system see order and freedom at the same time.
So the arrows are not decoration, they're the actual claim about causality. This thing has to happen before that thing can be valid.
Exactly. If the arrow points from task A to task B, it means B is waiting on A. Not emotionally waiting, despite how software feels some days. Technically waiting. B cannot safely run until A is done, because it needs A's output, or A's file, or A's decision. And quick bridge to something we already did. Episode 791 was the overview on graph-based memory representation. That was about storing facts as connected pieces. Here the graph is not mainly for memory. It is for dependency order. Same dots and lines family, different job.
That distinction helps. In product terms, graph memory asks, what is related to what? A DAG asks, what has to happen before what? If I'm building a real workflow, that second question becomes extremely practical, extremely fast.
Now the mechanism. Once you have the prerequisite map, you can perform a topological sort. Terrible name. Useful idea. It means produce a valid sequence of nodes, where every prerequisite appears before the thing that depends on it.
Wait, make that less textbooky. How does the system find the first thing?
It looks for nodes with no incoming arrows. Incoming just means arrows pointing into the node. If nothing points into a task, nothing must happen before it, so it can go now. Run those, remove them from the waiting picture, then new tasks become unblocked. Repeat until everything is scheduled.
Oh, interesting.
That's why build systems like Make, Gradle, and Bazel care about this shape. If one source file changes, the system does not rebuild the universe. It follows dependency arrows and rebuilds the pieces that actually depend on the changed thing. A compiler uses the same basic idea when some code has to be processed before other code can be understood.
And the user-facing win is speed, but not fake speed. It's not just doing less because we feel lucky. It's doing only the work the dependency map says is necessary.
Right. And it also exposes parallelism. If three tasks have no dependency between them, a scheduler can run them at the same time. In the dinner party picture, one worker can chill the wine, while another sets the table, while another buys ingredients. The graph shows where waiting is real and where waiting is just bad planning.
Exactly.
This is why those Lane graph pieces we looked at kept landing for me, despite my allergy to Agent Sparkle. The strongest part was not the glamour. It was the workflow path, explicit branches, checkpoints, pause points, recovery, and route history. And DAG gives you a clean way to say, this branch depends on that completed state.
And that Andrew Ng loops to graphs framing was basically the approachable version of the same move. A loop says, keep trying. A graph says, these are the stages, these are the dependencies, and here is where more structure earns its keep.
Yes, with one careful caveat. A loop is not automatically illegal in a whole program. Programs loop all the time. The acyclic rule is about the dependency graph itself. Inside that map, you cannot have A waiting on B, B waiting on C, and C waiting on A.
Oof.
Because then nothing can start. Each task is pointing at another task and saying, after you. That is a deadlock, or at least a logical contradiction. The DAG avoids that by requiring progress to move one way through the map.
Git is the example that made this click for me years ago. A commit can point back to its parent commits, but it can't become its own ancestor. The history can branch and merge, but time in the graph does not eat its own tail.
Good example. Data pipelines are another one. Tools like Airflow and Spark often model work as stages. Extract data, transform it, train something, write outputs, update a registry. Some stages can run together. Some must wait. The DAG is the scheduler's map of what is legal.
Okay, but here's where my product optimist brain gets greedy. If I draw the graph, do I automatically get the fastest workflow?
No, and thank you for walking directly into the rake. The DAG tells you dependency order. It does not automatically know machine capacity, cost, queue time, network delays, flaky services, or which task is probabilistic and might fail twice before passing.
Okay.
But production scheduler still has to make decisions. If 20 tasks are unblocked, but you only have 4 workers, the graph says all 20 are allowed. It does not magically pick the best 4. So the DAG is load-bearing, but it is not the entire runtime.
That is such an exploring next take. The diagram is useful, and then the ugly operational bits immediately kick the door open.
They always do. But the diagram still matters, because it makes invisible constraints visible. A written list hides relationships. A DAG lets you look at the picture and see bottlenecks, independent branches, and impossible cycles. That is why people draw them even when the real system is more complicated.
And it explains why teams like orchestration frameworks, LangChain versus Llama Index versus raw API calls, all that comparison stuff we went through, underneath it, there's this boring question, do you need a visible workflow shape or are you just making one request?
Yes, if the task is simple, a DAG may be ceremony. If the task has real dependencies, approvals, retries and branches, the graph starts paying rent. That's the same reason the 3 years of graph engineering material felt practical rather than decorative.
No way.
I know. Me, complimenting graph engineering. Please archive the moment. But I mean it. Acyclic paths also show up in newer agent planning work, where systems identify subtasks and invoke them in an order that respects explicit relationships. The vocabulary changes, but the dependency problem is old.
So where does this stand now? Because sometimes we do an overview and the answer is this used to be the framing and now it's buried under something newer. Is that true here?
Not really. This is still core. The label may be hidden under workflow orchestration, build graph, commit history, data pipeline, task graph, or agent graph. But the underlying idea has not been replaced. If anything, modern AI systems made the old structure feel freshly relevant.
That tracks with our control stack obsession. The flashy part is the model deciding things. The shippable part is often the graph around it saying, here's what already happened, here's what can happen next, and here's what is blocked.
Asteria. That's the product Red I actually buy. The DAG does not make the model smarter. It makes the work shape explicit enough that the surrounding system can schedule it, inspect it, resume it, and avoid nonsense loops.
Stop it. You're agreeing with me too cleanly. I'm checking whether this episode has a cycle.
If it did, we would be trapped forever in the dinner party example, waiting for the ghost cake to authorize dessert, which, honestly, is still less bleak than some agent demos.
That's wild. But yes, the one thing I'd keep in my head is the prerequisite map. Dots are work, arrows are must happen before. No loops means progress stays possible.
Then once that map exists, software can do something useful with it. It can find a valid order, run independent branches together, detect impossible dependency cycles, and give humans a picture that is easier to reason about than a pile of prose.
Ari Draco, Ghost Cake goes in the unofficial glossary. Somehow that is our most accurate architecture diagram this week.